You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, your Frosted Flakes eating. Very lazy, so I keep ordering takeout, sleeping with the window open when it's 10 degrees outside, friend.
I love that. And I'm Bethany, your overheated, over-caffeinated, there's a benign cyst on my eye, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we're inviting you to join us. This week, we're talking about
how nature is trying to kill you. It's not safe to go outside.
No, you're right. We should stay inside.
Mm-hmm. I have a whole list.
Inside of our apartments and never see another human being for as long as we live.
Fair. No, it's not safe. Kathleen, what are you talking about today?
I have this book here, The Best Damn Answers to Life's Hardest Questions.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about some of the questions in that book. And then I also compiled a list of other very hard life questions that we should be asking ourselves.
Fantastic. We are in Audio Boom Studios, NYC Studio B.
Yeah.
So we do sound a little bit different, if you notice. Kathleen, can I update you on my eye situation?
So you have, last episode, we talked about like weird medical anomalies because Bethany has this very weird sort of like white bubble blister thing on her eyeball.
Yeah, it's like on my inner... It's on the white part of the inner corner of my left eye, close to my nose.
I am a WebMD enthusiast.
Yeah.
I think I go on that website every day. Yeah. I've quite literally never seen anything like the situation going on your eye.
I haven't either. So it was perfect timing because I was due for my annual eye appointment anyway. So I went into the doctor yesterday and she took a look at it and she seemed unconcerned and unfazed. She said it was benign.
Doesn't that bother you so much?
I mean, I would rather her seem unconcerned than her look at it and then like panic, leave, and start asking her colleagues.
Just once, I want there to be something really fucked up, like going on with me.
That usually means it's not going to end well.
It's an awful thing to say.
You should not have children. You're going to be one of those Munchausen by proxy moms where you're just like always in the hospital because your kid has a thing. Basically, she said it's just a cyst. It's just cells.
It'll go
and
away.
Like fluid.
Yeah.
And so I'm supposed to use eye drops and then I'm supposed to put a warm compress on my eye.
How does that work?
Like 5 to 10, just put it on your closed eye. And then after I take it off, I'm supposed to rub my eye to try and help the cyst pop, which seems awful.
Can you take one of those metal tools meant for like popping blackheads?
No.
And like put it on your eyeball?
No. Bad. Yeah, bad. And also, you know, like listeners know who've been listening for a while, I just really want to wear an eye patch, but this is the third time I've gone to an eye doctor and asked
because no cigar
because of my lazy eye, my strabismus, am I allowed to wear an eye patch? Because that would be, you know, badass. But
I think
she said no.
Little kids with eye patches are the darn cutest.
I know, but when you're a little kid, you're embarrassed about it. When you're an adult, you know you would look amazing, but by that point, it's apparently too late.
What if you're going on a blind date and you show up and the other person's wearing an eye patch?
I feel like they're mysterious.
And you're like, oh my goodness, like, I love your eye patch. It's so chic because they have it like decked out or something.
Sure, yeah.
Riffraff or rickrack. What's that like zigzaggy ribbon? Rickrack.
Brick-a-brack.
And like, some, I don't know, some bejeweled things, you know.
The Gucci logo.
Yeah, jazzy jewelry.
I mean, I feel like if they have a good story to go with it, it's awesome.
No, so then the story is, it's just an accessory. I don't need it at all.
It's awful, and that's why I refuse to wear one without a reason, because if you don't have a reason, you look like a tool who's wearing an eye patch.
You do. Bethany, we finally got some snow here in New York City this weekend.
We did.
Did you do anything?
Nope. Stayed inside.
I went to my friend's house, proceeded to cry about everything going on in my life.
Honey.
And drank a whole bottle of wine by myself.
Did she also drink wine, or was it just you?
No. Everybody was wasted.
Okay, each person had a bottle.
And then I came home and ate a whole box. Bethany, I shit you not. The whole box of Frosted Flakes.
Love.
Passed out on the couch and then woke up and cursed myself for not buying the family size version. Because I wanted more Frosted Flakes.
Frosted cereal in general is a one serving thing. One box, one serving.
One box, one serving. Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles for me is one box, one serving.
And I also discovered we were playing Candyland. Candyland of today, like I recently bought this Candyland game.
Yeah.
The characters change over time.
Really?
Do you remember like the big, I understand why they took it away, but I really miss it. There's like this molasses character.
Yeah, creepy.
And he looked like a big pile of melting poo.
Yeah, he looked like a pile of poo.
No longer on the Candy Land game board.
Where did what replaces
replaced
him?
By I don't know, some other garbage.
Is Queen Frostine still there?
No.
What?
I know, Bethany, I'm telling you, you have to look up like the progression, like Google image the progression of the Candyland board game stuff. It's really it's getting to me.
I always thought Queen Frostine was the prettiest woman I had ever seen, and I really wanted to be her when I grew up. It was a combination of Queen Frostine and Daphne from Scooby-Doo. Candyland.
Queen Frostine, not on the board anymore.
What, there was nothing like offensive about her.
I don't know. It's, you know what? So we played around to Candyland. Not that fun.
Really not that good.
Not that good. You know what? I have to dig out Chutes and Ladders.
That game is great. Speaking of ladders.
Uh-huh.
Are you watching The Repair Shop on Netflix?
No.
You need to.
Tell me more.
Okay. It is these very likable people in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I think they come from a bunch of different places, mm-hmm. many different accents.
I mean, their accents just, I mean, an accent in general makes you more likable.
Yeah. And they work in this giant farmhouse shed where the roof is made of peat.
Mm.
And it's called the repair shop. And they all have like these different specialties. One of them is a ceramicist. One of them is a woodworker. One of them is like the wunderkind of wood repairing. He's like 22.
Yeah.
There's like a clockmaker, and there's these two women who are doll surgeons and stuffed animal surgeons, and they work together. And one of them has pink hair.
Can you go to college to be a doll surgeon?
I mean, I feel like you could go to a certain number of classes that combine to create doll surgery.
Mm.
And people bring in their things, and then these people, whatever specialty your thing requires, they fix it and they give it back to you. And in season one, they will repair these beautiful, like these beautiful antique home, like through the centuries things, and they'll give it to the person, and the person will very stoically be like, thank you. And then I will scream at the TV, but I feel like in season two, they got the note and now everyone cries.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Thank God.
It's so beautiful.
And then they sob and sob and sob. Uh-huh. It's really wonderful. It's such a good show, and it's really good if you're very stressed out and you just need to remember that not everything is awful.
On Netflix.
The Repair Shop.
The Repair Shop.
I follow all of them on Instagram.
So we asked our listeners to respond to us with their weird medical anomalies.
Yes. Per the ISIS last week.
Yeah. Because, and also I had like elephant hands and stuff.
That's right.
Can I just read you some of these that are absolutely so totally bonkers?
Yes, please.
Oh my God.
I want to hear them all.
So this is from Nicole. She said, my cousin asked me if I liked her OBGYN. I do like her very much, and she's going to deliver both my baby and my cousin's baby. But my cousin at this point hadn't met her yet. And I responded, yes, she drained my clit cyst. I trust her with my life.
I didn't know you could have a cyst on your clitoris. Yeah, a clitor cyst.
A clit cyst.
Clit cyst.
That's awful.
That sounds painful.
That's like getting a pimple inside of your ear.
Yeah. What else do we get?
This comes from Christina. She goes, this is so gross and totally TMI, but there was a foul smelling green discharge coming from my nipples. And, like, I can't even describe the smell. It was like hot garbage. Ugh. Absolute trash.
Awful. Did she say what happened?
This was happening for about a year, and then I finally consulted a doctor. A year?
Girl, what the hell?
Go to the doctor like the day after that this pops up.
What is happening?
He immediately ordered an ultrasound and a mammogram. Come to find out that my milk duct was infected. I don't even have children. I've had my nipples pierced since college, and I guess this caused a blockage in the duct. And yeah, so it still happens from time to time. Very strange, very gross.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, that's it's a good thing that you didn't have a kid yet. Can you imagine your poor kid getting a... This is such a gross episode, and it's not going to get any better when I get to my topic.
Betsy said I had a suspicious dark spot removed from my ear, and now I look like Mike Tyson with a little chunk missing.
Wait, is Mike Tyson missing a part of his ear, or did Mike Tyson eat off a guy's ear?
I don't know. Maybe a little of both.
Maybe a little A, a little B.
Dominique says that she has infected... Now, I'm going to mess up this word.
Go for it.
Parotid gland and parotid stones. That's a gland in the back of your throat.
Okay.
Where sometimes cells can build up and you can have throat stones.
Oh.
Have you ever Googled throat stones before?
No, I'm about to.
Oh, please do it right now. I've Googled this before because I think everything is wrong with me and I thought I had this at one point.
What were your symptoms of throat stones that you thought you had?
I don't know. The same symptoms that I always have, like a headache and a cough.
Oh, throat stones.
Like tonsil stones.
A lump of calcified material in the tonsils, the fleshy pads at the back of the throat. So it sort of looks like, you look a little bit like a hippopotamus because you have your tongue and then like a tooth on the left and a tooth on the right, except for they're not teeth, they're stones.
Yeah, they're like these stones in the back of your throat. And if they get really big, you can open up your mouth and you can like see these like white things beyond your teeth. Really, I don't know. Good luck with that, Dominique.
I'd bejewel them. They're pretty common, apparently.
Yeah.
Says the internet.
Mm-hmm. This is the best one. This is the best one we got. Okay. I read this one to Bethany before.
And I already forgot it because I don't have a brain.
And we got so many more, but I'm really only reading the very, very strange ones. This is from Randy. I suffer from midday unilateral ear arrhythmia.
Okay.
This is a fancy way of saying that just about every day between the hours of 12 p.m. and 4 p.m., my right ear only gets bright ass red and very hot. No one knows why. I've asked so many doctors as I work in a hospital, but there's no explanation for why this happens, and I just walk around with a crimson ear.
That's great, but there's a name for it, but we just don't know why it happens.
And maybe she made the name up herself.
It's possible.
And she works in a hospital, so it sounds really official. Midday unilateral ear arrhythmia.
Okay. That sounds a little bit, not at all, but do you know, have you heard of sundowning?
No.
So this is when people who have forms of dementia, like when the sun goes down, they can get more confused. They'll have a change in behavior when the sun goes down. And I'm going to Google it really quickly to make sure that I'm getting the definition correct.
Oh, is that why my dad thought I died the other day?
Probably.
Yeah, that's
was it
sad.
Nighttime?
Yeah, it was nighttime.
It's also known as late day confusion. Mm. So their confusion or agitation may get worse in the late afternoon and evening.
Yeah.
I thought I had sundowning because A, again, Dr. Google.
Stop.
But because...
You don't have dementia.
No, I know. But like every day around 3 p.m., I get really depressed. Mm. Just like every day at 3 p.m., I get super depressed. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a friend who would text me every day at 3 just to make sure I was okay. But that ended up making it worse because it reminded me that it was 3.
Oh.
So like I told her to stop. But my therapist and I do joke that it's like a non-dementia form of sundowning.
Yeah.
Which just as soon as the quality of the light changes in the afternoon, I get really depressed.
Well, that's sometimes like at 5 o'clock in the winter, I look over at my husband on like a Sunday night and I'm like, where did the day go?
Yeah. And then and then you're bummed.
And he's like, we're drunk. The day went in the bottle.
The day went in the bottle.
My skin is terrible right now, and that is because I have not been sticking to a routine.
Why not?
And so I would like to kick myself in the face and say, hey, you love BioClarity. Get back with your routine.
Yeah, BioClarity takes care of you and your skin. It's a clean and green skincare brand that has products that just work.
And the routines, when I stick to them, keep my skin looking young, healthy, acne-free, and you know what? All gentle ingredients.
Yeah. So they have two different routines to fit whatever your skin needs. They have the clear skin routine, which is for oily or breakout prone skin, or they have the essentials routine for normal skin and everyday use. Both routines are an easy to use 3-step regimen, and they include a super special ingredient found only in BioClarity, Floralux. It's made from the chlorophyll from plants.
BioClarity, because of, you know, the Floralux, it helps me with redness and hyperpigmentation and evening out my skin tone and texture, which are like some of the things that I struggle with. with the most.
Totally.
And their products are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, non-toxic, paraben-free, sulfate-free, artificial fragrance-free, and there's a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee.
So get healthier, more radiant skin by going to bioclarity.com. I love it because having a skin routine makes me feel better about myself and makes my skin glow. And even better, these products are actually affordable.
Especially right now. For our listeners, you can save 15% off everything on their website, which is an incredible deal. But you have to enter our code ACQUIRED at checkout.
So go to bioclarity.com and get 15% off of everything on their website when you use our code ACQUIRED at checkout. That's ACQUIRED.
Bioclarity.com, keyword ACQUIRED.
All right, the best damn answers to life's hardest questions, a flowchart book.
Oh, I love a flowchart.
By Tess Coman, illustrated by Katie Vernon. I don't know where I got this book. I probably bought it myself to like thinking it would be good podcast fodder.
Yeah.
And guess what? I had nothing prepared today, so it is good podcast fodder.
I also love a flowchart because I wish my life was a flowchart and that you are told exactly where to go. Mm. You have an answer and they tell you exactly which direction to go in. I wish that that was life.
It's not.
It's not life. But no. It should be.
I wish.
You know what? I would have passed my driver's test on the first try if it were flowchart.
Well, I feel like a driver's test is a flowchart, Kathleen, because you literally are just supposed to go straight.
Well, the written test.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
it took me 3 times.
Yeah, that's different.
because my schedule in high school is very demanding, and I took the bilingual class, and then the teacher would say everything once in English and then everything again in Spanish.
But you speak English.
Yeah, but I would like tune out. It was too much.
Kathleen, all you had to do was focus.
All right. Back to life's most important questions, hardest answers, whatever. Okay. Is it really necessary to wear a bra? I think it is.
No. Well,
most of the time. I have different bras for different occasions. Yeah. I have my Third Love bras.
Yeah, of course.
Third Love is a sponsor of this podcast. Those are the ones that I wear every day to like go out and do things and see people.
Yeah.
And then you have like the stretched out sports bras, you know, from like the high school soccer team.
Yeah.
Before sports bras were like really supportive.
Right.
Those are the ones like you wear at home. At least for me.
I think it depends on what size breasts you have.
True.
If they're big and they hurt your back.
Yeah.
Then yes. I think probably, but not for everyone, I don't think. So I don't think you should have to.
So you mostly don't wear a bra?
I do if I'm going out in public, but if the outfit calls for it, I won't.
And
I'll proudly not.
See, before I gained some weight, I was one of those people. I was like, I don't have to wear a bra every day. But now that like I've gained a lot of weight in my chest, when I'm sitting without a bra, it's really uncomfortable when I can like feel my titties sitting on my stomach.
Yeah.
It's not a good. Nice feeling. And so I understand with the big, I'm 1L1 with the big boob people.
You got to. And also if you run, you get a black eye.
Another important question you need to ask yourself in life. Should I cook tonight?
No.
No.
No, you should not.
I have been so bad lately.
It's fine.
I keep ordering takeout. I'm burning my retirement fund on noodles.
Well, and like, you know, we work with, you know, food preparation kits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy them. I'm going to be honest, though, when I don't have time to cook, I thoroughly enjoy just going to them for the ingredients and eating the ingredients. Like I'll eat just a packet of cheese.
Stop it. You'll eat the separate ingredients that come with your meal kit?
Absolutely.
Especially how dare you?
If it comes with one of those cardboard triangles of sour cream.
Bethany.
Love that pour right in my
you
mouth.
You are everything that's wrong with society
right
now.
Right in my mouth.
No, you have to follow directions.
Put it in my mouth.
Another important life question. Do you need a vacation?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
The truth is that you do need a vacation. I have a hot tip on this one. There are these groups on Facebook called Girls Love Travel.
Okay.
Like if you type in girls and travel into Facebook, there are these amazing groups with like almost a million people in them. And all you have to do to research a vacation that you want to go on is like type in Greece or Switzerland or wherever you're going.
Yeah.
And all of these tips that people have already been there like and sharing tips with other people that want to go are going to come up. And it's like the most that's amazing great. Resource ever.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Another important life question we all need to ask ourselves, am I too old for this shit?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And by shit, I mean everything. Other people's shit. I think when it comes to clothes and hair, you do whatever you want. I think when it comes to people's bull crap, you don't have to put up with it anymore.
If you could shoot one condiment from your belly button, what would it be and why?
When it comes Can I ask a follow-up question?
No.
Chipotle mayo.
Yes.
What about you?
Ketchup. But I did eat macaroni and cheese this weekend with Cholula Chipotle hot sauce.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Holy Moses.
With or without breadcrumbs on top?
Without breadcrumbs.
Oh, I love a breadcrumb.
But you know what? If you're going to put hot sauce on it, sometimes like the breadcrumb, it soaks it up too much.
Oh, that's fair.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you had to eat a crayon out of the box, what color would you eat?
Orange.
Why?
I feel like it looks the most appetizing to me. Like it looks like it's going to be the least poisonous, and it also looks, you know, like it might taste citrusy.
Yeah, I understand that.
What about you?
I get it. I would eat white.
White?
Because, okay, think about, a crayon is essentially wax, okay?
Yes.
And so melted wax, like, is sticky. It collects things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you go get your vajay wax, like, you
never
know.
Never have, but yes, so I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
yes.
I've never either, but, you know, the wax is supposed to stick.
Yeah.
I want to see what it comes out the other end, this white crayon. I want to see what sticks. That's why I'm going to eat the white crayon.
Wait, but wouldn't that do it with any color?
No. I mean, like white, you could see every single chia seed.
Gotcha. And also it's like a neutral. So if it becomes a different color, you know that color is a combination of white plus something else. Okay, that makes sense.
What do you think that your 10-year-old self would want to tell you now?
Oh, man.
What would your 10-year-old self say to you? Mine would say, why are you still chubby?
Oh, Kathleen.
That's so sad. But listen, I'm just being honest.
Mine would probably be like, why don't you have children?
Mm.
We wanted children.
Oh.
And be very confused.
Yes.
Yeah, I think mine would be very confused.
Mm. If you could learn any one skill in the world without trying, like Matrix learning style.
Yeah.
Which would you pick?
Either the piano or, what's the name of that guy? Hold on a second.
Piano is one of mine also, but also high diving. You know, like that Olympic sport where you like splash into the water and two drops of water come up.
Totally.
I would love to do that.
Okay. It's going to be one of three.
Mm-hmm.
Piano.
Yeah.
Yanis Marshall's choreography to Hit Me Baby One More Time. Or rhythmic gymnastics.
With the ribbon?
Yeah. Or the bowl.
My cat is a rhythmic gymnast.
With what apparatus?
He has a ribbon.
Aww.
And he just runs around the apartment with this ribbon floating behind him. Last night he flew into bed with this ribbon just flying in the air behind him. And I say, ribbon dancer kitty.
It's rhythmic gymnastics is bonkers. You have to start training at the age of like 4.
Yeah. I mean, very hard, but you don't really have to do the flips.
Don't you?
No, I don't think you do. I think it's all about like the string, you know, like the little handle. It's essentially a cat toy.
Or the hula hoop, though. There's also the hoop.
You're right.
There's like batons.
Uh-huh.
And you got those things are amazing. It's like they're magnetically connected to you, except they're not.
Quick scenario.
Yeah.
You're offered a pill that makes you 25% more intelligent.
Yeah.
But permanently removes your hair, including your eyebrows. Do you take it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I think there's plenty of people who live in this world without hair, eyelashes, eyebrows.
And really?
Yeah. I mean, there's wigs for that. There's makeup for that.
See, here's the thing. My mom and I were having this conversation the other day.
Yeah.
Because my dad is smarter, much smarter than the average human being. But I think because of his intelligence level, he was also kind of tortured in life.
So
my mom and I were having this conversation the other day where like, maybe sometimes it's better to just be average.
I do feel like sometimes
there's less pressure on you.
Yeah. And you maybe don't realize
how average you are. And so therefore you're happy.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. That's like one of life's really tough questions.
I mean,
like tortured brilliance is a thing.
Benedict Cumberbatch and Sherlock seemed very unhappy.
See, like in movies, a lot of very smart people are tortured.
Yeah.
Like what's that guy in Spider-Man with all the octopus arms? I don't know.
I don't really care.
Would you accept a $30,000 a week job where you get paid to sit in a black room and do nothing for 8 hours a day? $30,000 a week. You can't do anything. It's a black room.
For the rest of my life or like for a limited period of time?
For a limited period of time. But that period of time was quite long. It's like 4 years.
No.
$30,000 a week for 4 years.
But to waste your time in a black room for 8 hours is just a waste of time. You're doing nothing.
You could be thinking of this amazing thing that you're going to do.
Yeah, but then you can't do it.
Okay. $30,000 a week times 52 times 4. That's $6 million, $6.2 million
for 4. That's a waste of. Okay,
it's only 8 hours a day. That's it. If you time it right, you could go to sleep.
Okay, so I don't necessarily have to be awake.
No,
I just have to be there.
I just made up that rule right now.
Okay, so yeah, then I would do it because then you sleep for 8 hours and then you get off and you do all of the things that you want to do with your millions.
I think I would take it. Yeah,
I think you're right. I would too.
Stay up all night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you're basically a shift worker at mm-hmm, that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I get to have a pillow and a blanket and stuff?
No.
No, I'd still do it. I think that I would be able to get used to sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, bent over.
Yeah, and I would just like bring a puffy coat. Yeah, no, that's fine.
That's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
That's like whenever I travel in the winter, yeah. Like my jacket becomes my blanket.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
What's the biggest lie you ever told? I tell myself every day that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think that, I think there've been a couple of situations where I've been like, everything's great.
Yeah.
And I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I've not been that at all.
And you're not been that. Yeah. If you were the opposite sex for a whole day, what would you do? I would jiggle my pee-pee or ask for a raise.
I get it. Yeah. I think I'd speak up in meetings and be listened to.
Right? You could tell total lies and people would believe you. Yeah. Because you had a pee-pee.
I think I'd get a lot of loans.
And then you go jiggle your pee-pee. Okay. Scenario. The angel of death has descended upon you.
Okay, awesome.
Fortunately, the angel of death is pretty cool and in a good mood.
Nice.
And it offers you half an hour to do whatever you want before you bite it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do in that half an hour?
Eat everything.
Really?
Mostly sheet cakes and mac and cheese. I'm going to eat. I love eating. It is my favorite thing to do.
Okay, but you have to have that food ready in your house. What if you have no food in your house?
Oh, well, there's a grocery store down the street.
Okay.
So I would run to the grocery store down the street. I would get myself a sheet cake. I would also get myself some Easy Mac.
Oh, Easy Mac.
Yeah. And I would get myself like a bottle of whiskey.
Yeah.
And I would
just get wasted
and eat. And I would, frankly, I would invite the Angel of Death to join me.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the Angel of Death is pretty cool in a good mood.
Uh-huh. We'd probably have like kind of an interesting conversation.
What I'm going to say is totally nerdy. I would do a quick 15-minute podcast interview with the angel of death.
I'd create content
as my last half hour of life, because how I would go down in history as the only person ever to get an interview with the angel of death.
That's very true. What would be your first question for the angel of death?
How do you decide who you're going to choose? Right? And is everyone born with a specific timeline?
Oh, that's a good question.
For them, right?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And do you ever take someone early because they're a bad person?
Yeah. Yeah. And are you ever about to take someone and decide not to because they're cool? Or are you ever like just visiting someone else and you realize to take their friend because their friend is being obnoxious?
Yeah.
And you know that that's not ever, that doesn't happen.
And why do good people die every day and bad people get to live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you could sell your soul to the devil, what would you sell it for?
My perfect career.
Really?
Yeah.
You would sell your soul to the devil for a perfect career.
I'm not saying I would, but you're saying if I'm selling it to the devil.
If you're selling it.
What would I sell it in exchange for?
Yeah. For
my career.
For your career.
Yeah. What about you?
I would sell my soul to the devil to bring back a child of mine if I had a child who died.
Okay. Fair. Yeah.
I would sell my soul to the devil to make French fries have no calories.
Okay.
And I think I would also sell my soul to the devil if this was never, ever a question in society to be ever debated ever again. Women's right to choose.
Yeah.
I would sell my soul to the devil to like make that like in stone, written in stone in concrete in front of the White House. Yeah. Women have the right to choose.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I most certainly would sell my soul to the devil for that.
I wonder if that's actually a thing you can do. You know,
can we write a letter to the devil? You can write a letter to Santa.
I don't know if I believe in the devil.
Does hell get mail?
but like, I wonder if there's actually some sort of pact. Like, isn't it that they believed that, who was it? Robert Johnson apparently sold his soul to the devil to like have his amazing career.
Who's that?
He's a blues musician.
Huh?
I don't know. I think that you can probably call upon some pretty dark forces. I think dark forces exist. I don't know if there's an actual devil. That's interesting.
Should I get back on that dating app? Yes, girl.
No.
Yes.
No.
Never stop trying to find true love.
No, don't ever stop trying to find true love. But I don't know how great the apps are. I feel like it's a lot of weirdos. But But I think that, I don't know, you know me.
Can I ask you kind of a personal question?
Yeah.
What do you bring most to a friendship?
I think I'm pretty non-judgmental of decisions that my friends make.
Okay.
Like, I think I'm not easily shocked.
Yeah.
So if you tell me, like, I did this awful thing or I did this crazy thing and everyone around you thinks that you're an idiot, I think I'm going to be your friend who's like, okay.
All right. Cool.
All right. What's the next step?
Yeah.
I think that that's what I bring to a friendship. I'm okay. Not great with keeping plans. I'm not great with being there, like, on my phone all the time in cases of emergency. But I think I am a pretty non-judgmental
friend,
like, sounding board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you bring?
What do you bring? I don't hold grudges, which is
that's
like
very good. Yeah, you're right.
Isn't always the best quality in terms of like protecting myself from toxic people.
Yeah.
But if you wronged me, chances are I'm going to forget or I'm just going to forgive you.
Yeah. There have been a couple times where I've been like, no, remember, and this person's awful and you need to like not.
And I just like, I just have forgotten.
Yeah.
And I'm
like,
oh, they did that?
Yeah.
All right. Theoretical situation time.
Okay.
Imagine you're on top of a 40-story building.
Oof.
There's a giant inflatable landing pad, street level.
Okay.
It's big enough that if you jump, you have a 95% chance of surviving.
Okay.
Would you jump off to save a friend's life?
Yeah.
You would? I said depends on the friend.
Yeah, probably depends.
Shit.
Is it you? Yes.
Mm.
Is it that one friend of mine?
No. I would jump off to save you.
Thank you.
I also might text my friend or call my friend from the top to see if they pick up or if they forward me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so what's happening? Do we know what's happening or is it just in theory?
It's just in theory. Okay. Just in theory.
Yeah. I think I would for most of my friends, especially 95% chance. That's great. That's great. That's a really good percentage. If it was 50, that list of friends would go down.
Where would you go in case of a zombie apocalypse? This is an easy answer and people forget this all the time. An island. Zombies can't swim.
Do we know that?
Yes. Zombies can't swim.
Do we know that?
On Walking Dead, they cannot swim.
That's not canon.
It will.
I mean, do we know for a fact?
Yes, we know for a fact. They can't swim. Zombies can't swim. They can only shuffle.
I'm going to say, okay, fine. If you have access to an island, let's say you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's say you're in North Dakota. I would say basement because they probably can't tunnel. And so you're probably safe on all four sides. What you have to worry about is above.
Mm.
And you just have one person watching above all the time.
Have you ever touched human remains?
No. And I really am very interested in like seeing an embalming or that kind of thing. I actually am very interested in it.
Digging up a body?
No, I mean, just like the preparation, like the respectful preparation.
Really?
Yeah, I think that is very interesting. And I think that it can be a very beautiful and very spiritual process.
Yeah.
And a very loving one.
Yeah, because that's like when you go to a funeral and it's an open casket and you're like, damn, grandma looks better than she ever has.
Yeah. And there's this woman that I watch her YouTube videos and she's very, very interesting. And her name is Caitlin, I think, Doty. And she is a mortician. And so she does all of these videos about, you know, different things, different misconceptions about death in the, you know, in the old days, you know, what is it true that some caskets explode?
Is that true?
Yeah. There's like a whole thing that happens. If it's like not properly ventilated, your coffin can explode.
You know what I think about? It's kind of fucked up. But okay, say somebody like gained a lot of weight right before they died and nothing in their closet is like fits them to be buried in. I think it's so fucked up when you have to go out and buy somebody a new outfit to be buried in. Like they've never even seen that outfit.
It's insane.
And I'm wondering if morticians, if sometimes there is this problem and like, I don't know, like a grandma dies and the family shows up and they're like, this was grandma's favorite dress. Mm-hmm. Does the mortician like cut open the back of the dress and just lay it over grandma?
I would imagine. Yeah. I think that there's things that they can do.
Or like, do they suck fluids out to make grandma thinner?
Oh, that's also a good question.
Like, this is what keeps me up at night.
You know, if we have anyone listening who is a mortician, I don't even know if that's the proper terminology for it.
Yeah.
We would love to like interview
chat
you.
Chat with you.
And ask you some questions because I wonder if the act of, you know, whether you're for embalming or if you want a little bit more of a natural organic situation, if that lends itself to some weight loss just by the nature of it.
Like, do they have liposuction machines in the, you know, the funeral home, in the basement of the funeral home?
I mean, I
where this stuff happens to, like, so grandma's dress from 1985 yeah. like, fits her again.
Oh, God. I'm so curious.
It's a weird fucked up thing. What's the weirdest thing that you do?
What's the weirdest thing that I
do? I'll tell you what I do.
Yeah, I don't even know.
When a server puts a plate in front of me and is like, don't touch this, it's hot. I have to touch it. Immediately. Or if someone's like, don't eat this, blow on it first. I'm like, nope, gonna eat it right now.
I think...
Sometimes I also think I have the ability to move things with my mind.
That I still have. that I still do attempt. And I also, I'll say this. When I'm in a public restroom and they have motion detecting hand dryers,
yeah.
I will hold my hand out, like straight palm towards the hand dryer, as though I'm activating it with my superpowers, or the same thing with like a towel dispenser.
Okay.
Like, I'll hold my hand out straight palmed, fingers up.
Like you're part of the Avengers.
Like I'm part of the Avengers and I'm activating the paper towels.
Okay, rapid fire. Milk before cereal or cereal before milk?
Cereal before milk.
Agreed. Should we go to brunch?
Yes.
Can I see your browser history?
Nope.
Come on.
Yes.
Okay. I have a hankering for a couch that's mustard colored.
Yes, that'd be so nice.
There's just something about a woman sitting on a mustard colored couch that says to me, I'm in charge and I am Parisian.
We should make sure to say, I am in charge and I am Parisian.
Yep.
Well, if you are looking for a mustard colored couch or a pink chair or a classic whatever, go to Joybird. With over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, over 250 unique silhouettes, they can do whatever you want.
It's customized just for you.
So Joybird believes that your personal one-of-a-kind style should match your furniture. And even if you have kids or pets that are running around and terrorizing your house, they have kid and pet friendly upholstery options too.
Oh, somebody that I know from Instagram just got a Joybird chair.
Yeah.
And it's this peacock blue velvet.
Oh, God.
And I just want to melt into it. Everyone on Insta was like, your chair is so beautiful. And she's like, tag Joybird.
Yep. Every Joybird produced piece is made with the ultimate care and precision. It's real wood without all of those harmful chemicals. Plus, they use responsibly sourced materials. And everything they make comes with a limited lifetime warranty.
Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. And if you don't love it, you can return it to Joybird.
Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/taste.
See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/taste.
Go to joybird.com/taste and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code TASTE.
I love fashion, but one of the things that I hate about fashion is fast fashion.
Yeah.
Because the fashion industry is one of the most polluting industries in the world.
Yeah, it's awful.
And that is why we love ThredUp, because you get to buy stuff that's already been purchased and you're not contributing to, you know, all of that waste.
ThredUp is the world's largest online thrift store with up to 90% off estimated retail. It's the awesome prices and selection of a thrift store, but it's the convenience of online shopping. So they do all the culling for you. You're not digging through tons and tons of stuff. You're just searching by size or by brand or by color, whatever you're looking for.
And they have all of my favorite brands like Lululemon for $27, J.Crew for $10, Nike for $6. I mean, these are prices that you can't beat.
My most famous ThredUp purchase is the Ralph Lauren dress that I got for less than $100, and it was a $400 dress.
Unreal.
It was beautiful. It was like a ball gown.
My friend told me that she just signed up for this like fancy gym and she needed new workout gear. So yeah. She went to ThredUp to buy the high-end workout gear.
Totally.
But for a fraction of the price.
And today you can get an extra 30% off your first order by going to ThredUp.com/taste.
Everything is in high quality condition and lots of the items still have their tags on. Plus, ThredUp gets new arrivals every day, so there are always new treasures to find.
Sustainable, stylish, and totally affordable. You'll look and feel even better in 2020 with ThredUp.
And for our Acquired Taste listeners, here's an exclusive offer. Get 30% off of your first order at ThredUp.com/taste.
That's ThredUp.com/taste for 30% off your first order. There's no A in there. ThredUp, THRED, ThredUp.com/taste for an extra 30% off today. Terms apply.
Download the app. You can shop right from the app.
All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago, I was like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And you said, oh, I'm hiking.
Yes.
And your husband was also hiking.
Yes.
And the reason I asked what you were doing is because I wanted to hang out with your husband, but that's fine. So you love being outside, mm-hmm. and I don't like being outside.
I love Mother Nature.
Right. And I find her terrifying. Mm. So I decided for today that mm-hmm. I would make a list of the different ways that nature is trying to kill you.
I mean, this makes me sad.
Oh, no, it should make you sad. Okay. It should just make you terrified.
It just make me prepared.
Yeah, and also fearful. So number one, carbon dioxide lakes.
Carbon dioxide lakes. Uh-huh.
Africa. It's very pretty. It's got lakes. There's swimming. You can do Instagram yoga. Add in a lake hanging out in an old volcano crater, and you have a gorgeous vacation spot.
Yeah.
Until a limnic eruption happens. Now, what is a limnic eruption, you ask?
That is when someone who is performing an Irish limerick mm-hmm. is so drunk that they fall off the stage.
I mean, that would be hilarious, but no. So, miles below the surface, hot magma pushes gases like carbon dioxide upward to the bottom of the lake.
Like when you're burping after a seltzer water.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now, usually the lake water is moving around enough that the water and the gases can mix up pretty regularly, so any harmful gases just are released slowly and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But some lakes, particularly those in the tropics, are pretty still.
Yeah.
And so the gases collect in large volumes because there's nothing to mix it all up.
Yeah.
And then the unmoving water traps those gases until something makes it give, like an earthquake or a storm or just the pressure itself.
Yeah.
And it goes floosh to the surface, and the carbon dioxide forms this invisible cloud that can travel miles away from the lake, and it can suffocate anything in its path. For example,
what?
In 1986, a cloud like this killed around 700 people in Cameroon, West Africa.
Stop it. Stop it. It's now, like Mother Nature farts.
It's a
and she's eaten a burrito the night before.
It's a big
and
big release.
It's a deadly fart.
Yeah.
She had sour cream and she's lactose intolerant.
It all went to hell.
Mother Nature.
The interesting thing about this, though, is that there's a lake called Lake Kivu. I think it's near Rwanda.
Okay.
There's a methane gas leak that they have figured out how to siphon that gas to keep it from exploding, and they're using it for energy.
That's insane.
Which is awesome.
This is why environmental scientists are my favorite people.
Your favorite ones?
My favorite people.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
More than your seamless delivery person?
No, almost as important in my life as my delivery person.
I just caught you in a lie. Okay, another thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes animals like worms rain down from the sky.
What?
So you know rain is fantastic. It's my second favorite form of precipitation.
It can rain worms?
It can rain many things, including worms.
Raining worms. I'm looking this up right now.
It's called non-aqueous rain, and it's goddamn terrifying. So as I'm sure you know, Kathleen, in the book of Exodus, one of the plagues that afflicted Egypt was frogs raining down from the sky.
I don't remember that part, but okay.
Yeah. There was like a storm and plagues and frogs rained down from the sky.
Uh-huh.
So this has actually happened. So in 2007, a storm of worms fell in Louisiana. Worms. What? Which makes me want to turn inside out.
In America. In Louisiana.
Yep.
And then they made jambalaya? Wormy jambalaya?
In mass media and also in folklore, there's a lot of reports of animal rains. Fish. Spiders.
Yeah.
Jellyfish.
Oh, God.
Birds, frogs, toads.
Ugh.
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially if a tornado is picking up large bodies of water with, like, fish.
That's one of the theories.
You know, a lot of dirt with worms, and then it, like, sprinkles and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is a great premise for a horror movie.
Oh, it's crazy. There are some kind of animal rains that people have no idea how it happened. Like, there's no winds reported. There's nothing. There's no, like, spouts of water.
Because it's G.O.D. Okay, new premise. R.I.P. Bill Pullman.
Bill
Paxton. Mm-hmm. He was in the movie, that Storm Chaser movie. What was it called? Twister.
Twister.
Yeah. Twister 2. Did Twister 2 ever come out?
I don't think so.
Okay, Twister 2.
Yeah.
A storm chaser is following rains of animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the most deadly one is raining tigers. Hungry ass.
So it's Sharknado.
Oh, shit. Someone already invented.
Okay, fire tornadoes.
Okay.
Speaking of tornadoes.
Fire tornadoes.
The Japanese call them dragon twists. So imagine a scene from Game of Thrones when one of the dragons screams fire at a bunch of unshowered extras, right?
What is that word? She's Darkara? Darkara.
Dracarys.
Dracarys.
Yeah. Now, so picture stupid. That and then Photoshop out the dragon. That's what this looks like. It's like a spout of fire. They're awful.
So, fire tornado.
Yeah. They happen when rising hot air crashes into cooler, low pressure air. That creates dust devils.
Yeah.
Which are like little small tornadoes. Now, when those dust devils encounter a fire, you're screwed. And the flames swirl upward. They create a spinning flame funnel that can scorch anything nearby. And by the way, it's also very quick and also can change directions.
What?
So it's horrifying.
I thought that this was only something that happened when that fuckboy went and texted you back.
No.
Fire tornado. That's what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, it's not just your rage.
When he finally calls you and you're like, where did you go, you piece of shit? You gave me herpes.
All right, another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason nature is scary. There are more parasites than you.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. So some parasites live in our bodies. That's fine. Sometimes it's fine. They live in our guts. It's great.
Yeah.
Some, however, will destroy you dead.
Yeah, I got very sick from a parasite once.
What'd you have?
I picked it up in Hawaii. I had a cut on my leg and I went swimming in this like fresh body of water where the water was mainly stagnant.
Oh God, Kathleen, what the hell?
There were warning signs everywhere, but I was like, YOLO.
There's something in West Africa called the Loa Loa worm.
Ugh.
And it is spread by fly bites and it's going to get under your skin and then it's going to wiggle into your eyes.
Yes. Have you ever seen videos on YouTube of people who have been in like South America?
Won't.
And they catch that fly, like it's like that big round bulbous fly, a botanist fly or something.
Here's the worst thing about the Loa Loa worm. If your friends look really carefully, they can see it in your eye.
Oh, no.
And you can absolutely feel it.
Oh, no.
And that's the only parasite I'm going to cover because I did a lot of research on parasites. And frankly, I got really sick thinking about it.
Worms in your eyes. Yeah. Can you imagine you want to claw? It's going to make you want to claw your eyes out.
Yeah.
I go to the kitchen, get a spoon.
Can you imagine if they're
don't
like,
need
oh,
these eyeballs anymore.
The next way that nature is trying to kill you, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
Hemlock. This plant is darling.
Not to be confused with hemorrhoids.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hemlock is darling. It has tiny, pretty little white flowers.
Isn't hemlock groves, aren't those where the witches live? Or
yes,
the vampires?
Exactly. Yep. Hemlock flowers would look really good in like a bridal bouquet.
Yes.
If you were trying to murder everyone afterwards. Because every part of the hemlock plant is incredibly poisonous. So don't touch it.
Where does it grow?
The U.S.
It does?
And I think parts of Europe.
Hemlock plant. I need to look this up.
Socrates was allegedly poisoned with hemlock.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's darling.
Look at these little white flowers.
I know.
That would look so pretty in someone's hair.
I know. But is Socrates alive now? No.
A creative way to kill somebody.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Socrates was poisoned allegedly with hemlock and he's dead. So.
Kill your bride on the day of your wedding.
All right, next, the castor bean plant.
Castor bean?
Yep.
Mm.
So you may have this plant right now, like on your patio. When it flowers, it's gorgeous. It's like hot pink and prickly. The plant's real name is Ricinus communis. Does one of those words sound familiar to you?
It's turning me on for some reason.
Ricinus communis.
It just sounds like a hot boy with glasses. He's like kind of nerdy. He's like...
Who do you know named Ricinus communis?
I don't know. People in the South name their children all sorts of crazy things.
Okay. Well, ricin is a deadly poison
yes.
that crazies like to send in the mail
uh-huh.
to politicians they don't like.
Yeah.
So it comes from this plant.
Mm.
And eating just 4 to 6 seeds of this plant will kill you unless you get treated. If kids eat one, they could die. And the death is slow. It's like the worst food poisoning you've ever had, plus blood, plus like your throat is burning and then you die.
This is why we should all be forced to take a foraging class.
I agree.
In elementary school.
I fully agree.
Like it's a life or death situation.
Yeah. You don't know what to eat if you're dropped in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Another way that nature's trying to kill you. There's a fungus in the southwestern U.S. that lives in dirt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on my feet.
No.
Because my feet.
It's called something imitus, and it will become airborne easily through farming or wind or construction or earthquakes or just you walking around.
Yeah.
And then it gets inhaled.
So where is it again?
The southwestern U.S.
It's in U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And if you inhale it, bye-bye.
Well, so the good news is that only about 5% of people who inhale it will develop what's called valley fever. But if you do, you need to get treated ASAP because it can spread throughout your body and eat up everything it touches. It can cause skin ulcers, abscesses, bone lesions, swollen joints, heart inflammation, urinary tract problems, and meningitis, and can lead to death.
Oh, it can kill you.
It'll kill you.
It's almost as contagious as Candy Crush. Almost.
Yes, Kathleen. It is almost as contagious as Candy Crush.
Almost.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. The next one.
Okay.
This one is awful. This is why I don't go outside water.
Water?
If you feel like scuba diving off the coast of Australia, change feelings.
Yeah.
Because you're going to die.
Sharks.
No. Sharks don't care. What they care about, what cares about you?
Yeah.
The blue-ringed octopus. So this thing hangs out around the coral reefs near Australia. Is it reefs or reeves? Coral reefs.
I don't know.
It's a tiny little cutie pie baby thing. It's like 5 to 8 inches long, and it's darling. It's pretty plain looking.
I just Googled it. Blue-ringed octopus.
Darling.
It's cute.
It's cute. You're like, cute. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to gently pet it. And then it gets mad at you. It turns bright yellow and neon blue, and it starts biting you. And that is when you are effed in the A, because it shoots you with a neurotoxin, and there is no antivenom. So you are screwed. And the worst part about it is that the bites are small, and one octopus carries enough deadly venom to kill 26 people. So you won't even necessarily know you've been bitten because the bites are so little. The only way you know you've been bitten is when your throat closes and you die.
What?
It's awful.
Assassins.
They're assassins.
Should carry this octopuses.
Yeah.
Octopussy.
Little baby babies.
Some pussies around with them. Because that would be like the best calling card ever. Just an octopus on someone's forehead.
Can you imagine if like you're like, this thing is cute, and then all of a sudden it starts glowing blue and yellow. It's like brown, and then it's like and glows and then comes at you.
But it would be so cute on my Instagram.
And then you're going to die.
It's so colorful.
You're going to die. Okay, a couple more ways that nature's trying to kill you.
Yes. Hit me with it.
Flying eagle rays.
No. Eagle rays.
Okay, so this has only actually happened once, but still. In 2008...
Yeah,
a woman named Judy K. Zagorski was killed when a 75-pound spotted eagle ray, which is like a stingray.
Yeah. It lives under the water.
Yeah, randomly leapt out of the water and it knocked her over and she died.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
It's like it looks like a flying stingray.
Yeah, but it shot out of the water, hit her in the head, and then she died, and it died.
That's a freak thing.
Here's another way that nature can kill you.
It's like when you fall off a golf cart and,
yeah.
and then you're paralyzed.
Speak of the devil, cliffs. The man who owned Segway Inc., you know, those Segways, those rideable Segways?
Yeah.
Apparently rode his Segway off a cliff and died.
That.
2010.
That's the saddest thing ever.
I think it's irony. Stay away from cliffs.
That's like somebody who, and I don't know, what's something that just got invented? The Ring doorbell.
Yeah.
It's like the woman who invented the Ring. By the way, it was a Shark Tank thing. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was like called something else, and it was repackaged as Ring.
Good for them.
It was a Shark Tank invention.
Did they buy in? Did Mr. Wonderful say yes?
People, yes. People bought in. Imagine there's a tornado,
and
the woman who invented Ring, she just like randomly gets pierced with a Ring doorbell that flew off of someone's house.
Oh, totally. Beats her in the head.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's like someone who invented, you know, the tampon gets choked by a bunch of tampons. You know, and then they get bigger and bigger choking.
Yeah.
Turnips can kill you.
What?
In 1881, Sir William Payne Galway, a former British MP, sustained, quote, severe internal injuries when he fell over and landed on a turnip while out hunting, and then he died.
See, I like turnips. Have you ever eaten a turnip?
I have no opinions one way or the other on turnips.
My mother-in-law is big on turnips, and so she makes like sort of like a mashed potato type turnip dish at Thanksgiving. I think that she and I are the only ones that eat it.
Is it good because she's added a lot of other flavors?
Yeah, butter and salt. And
like cheddar cheese.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like a turnip, but... Sir who fell over a turnip and died?
Yeah, Sir William Payne Galway.
Don't step on the crack because you'll break your mother's back.
And lastly, Kathleen.
Yeah.
You're a city girl.
Yes.
I'm a city girl.
Yeah.
You're not even safe in the city.
The pollution's going to kill us.
Wow. Also, Alan Pinkerton, the founder of the famous Pinkerton Detective Agency, he was in Chicago in 1884. He tripped on the pavement and severely bit his tongue. His tongue became infected with gangrene and he died. This is why... So I'm just going to say to you, Kathleen, and you, gentle listener, just stay inside. You know what? Make a coat out of bubble wrap. Put on your helmet. Just stay. Put a bike helmet or some type of helmet.
Stay inside.
Stay inside. There's so many things to watch.
Do you have any weird deaths in your family? I have like quite a few on my father's side.
Really?
Yeah. Like somebody who mysteriously maybe was like walking on train tracks. Someone else who was like maybe mysteriously hit by a car, a.k.a. push in front of a car.
Wait. You have a very strange family because you have an in-law whose defining characteristic is that she loves turnips.
Yes.
So wait, who was just pushed in front
it's
of a
like
car?
It's like great uncles and my great, great grandfather died from this like disease in your mouth that typically only cows get from chewing straw.
What is going on with your family?
So don't chew on straw. I know farmers in like, you know, Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
They're very charming when like the cute guy is like chewing on a piece of straw and like driving his tractor. Do not chew on straw because somebody in my family died. We don't know if he chewed on straw or if it was like a freak thing, but he got this disease in his jaw and his tooth, like an abscess that typically only cows get from chewing straw. It's weird.
The only interesting thing about my family is that my uncle... I mean, I've talked about it before. My uncle fell off his ATV and got mean for like a few years and stopped talking to his son. But then he fell again and he got nice again.
Did it like shake his brain up
and
stuff?
Yeah, really? Like rattled his brain. Yeah. It's like in National Earth, Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation where like the little girl like falls off a horse and gets kicked by a mule and her eyes go crossed and back. It's like that, but with his frontal lobe.
The brain is a weird thing.
It's messed up.
I was wondering if something like that happened to me because I can no longer do word scrambles. Hey, Acquired Taste listeners, do you want to get control of your financial health this year? You know, it's 2020. It's time to, you know, maybe plan for 2040.
You ready to do some investing?
Robinhood's Investor Toolkit is growing so you can do more with your money in 2020.
Now you can buy and sell fractional shares on Robinhood and even earn competitive interest on uninvested cash, all from the same account.
And as always, there's no commission fees on trades or account minimums.
So if you're an investor looking for a better, seamless trading experience, stop waiting and join the 10 million strong Robinhood users.
Acquired Taste listeners can get started today with a free stock by going to taste.robinhood.com. Again, that's taste.robinhood.com.
All investments involve risk. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. The free stock program is subject to certain limitations. Annual percentage yield, or APY, on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank.
Bethany.
Yes.
Can I talk to you about an email that we got from a taste bud, Leanne?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Hi, ladies. It's Leanne, your hummus eating, about to start my second semester of grad school stressing, trying to be more environmentally conscious friend, and I have a tip for everyone.
Ooh, love a tip.
You see what she did there?
I see what she did there.
She said, I have a lot of weird anxiety about using the phone, so I wrote you an email instead of leaving you a voicemail. I listened to an eco-friendly podcast called Better World, and on it they said that your kitchen sponge is a big contributor to waste, and you should change to a compostable or a biodegradable sponge.
How?
Even though it's not a single-use plastic item, a lot of our cheap everyday sponges are made from plastic, and people generally throw them after about a month, right? And then they go to the grocery store to get more. So sponges just sit in landfills forever.
Oh, I never thought about that.
So I'm here to spread the news, and I thought maybe it would be a good hot tip for the good people of Acquired Taste Podcast.
Okay.
So that's it. I hope you're having a great day. Keep on keeping on. I listened to an episode of the Better World podcast. It's actually really good. I listened to it with she's the daughter of the creator of Seventh Generation.
Oh, yeah.
And she has an eco-friendly and sustainable condom, like sexual product company.
That's amazing.
Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting. It was a good conversation. But eco-friendly sponges, I never realized this.
So I'm sure you can like Google them and find.
Yeah, biodegradable sponges. Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. There's so many things that we don't even realize like are ruining the planet.
And they're not expensive, these biodegradable sponges. Like you can get like a two pack for like, I don't know, $4 or something.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And my favorite thing to do with the sponge is to get it and then cut it in half immediately.
Yeah.
Because you don't need like a full sponge in your sink. Just use a half sponge and you have twice the amount of sponges and less waste.
I think that's great. Uh-huh. I like that a lot. Can we talk really quickly about the news that broke over the weekend regarding my favorite moment in American history?
Oh, you know, we were getting a lot of tweets about this.
National Treasure 3.
Uh-huh.
More Books, More Secrets.
Number 3.
Is being written.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to start some sort of movement that I need to be in this film.
Yeah, you absolutely have to.
So can we start some type of hashtag?
Yeah.
Like,
Bethany is a national treasure.
I think that's great. Let's do that.
Bethany is
a national treasure. Because I need the makers of National Treasure to know that I need to be in this film. And will I audition for it? Yes, I will. Like, I'll go the right route.
You have to be in this movie.
But I also need them to know. You know how, like, Leslie Jones was tweeting so much about the Olympics that she got invited to the Olympics?
Yes!
Right? Like, I need this to become a thing. And you all know that this is my narrative. And so can we all start the hashtag Bethany is a national treasure?
100%.
Get me in the goddamn film.
Leslie Jones, it was recent. Her comedy special just came out. I think it's Netflix or it's Amazon Prime or something. Yeah. So funny.
She's great. I love her. So I didn't realize she was 50.
First of all, she looks amazing.
I love her.
And second of all, I didn't realize that she got her start in life like playing semi-pro basketball.
I had no idea.
And if you look up Leslie Jones basketball picks, your mind will be blown.
Wait, I'm looking them up right now.
Also, Nicolas Cage, he hasn't been in a movie in a while.
Well, he has, but they've just been more low-key.
Mm.
Like, have you seen Mandy?
No.
Oh.
Mandy with Nicolas Cage?
Oh, my God.
I was reading a list. I don't know who made it. Like, Vogue.com or something, Glamour.com. It was, like, the best 38 rom-coms ever made.
Yeah.
And there's this one that he's in with Cher called Moonstruck.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Really?
But if you Google Moonstruck and look at the Google images, Cher and Nicolas Cage look exactly the same in that movie.
Wait.
They look exactly the same.
Wait a minute.
Look at it. Tell me that they're not siblings.
Oh, my God. They do.
They look exactly the same.
They have the same, like, long faces. Yes. The same sort of very straight nose.
Big eyes. Big lips. Yeah. It's really weird. It's like you know how uncomfortable you get when you meet a couple for the first time and they look like brother and sister?
Yes.
You're like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah, my sister and her husband look a lot alike.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the same height, same coloring.
Yeah.
My older sister and her husband. They definitely, they are of a type.
They are attracted to themselves.
I mean, I don't, but you're also married to a man who looks like your brother.
No, that is not true at all, Bethany. It is not true. Neil looks
like Hopbert.
No, you need to see my brother and my husband standing next to each other. And you know what? You're not the first person to tell me this.
I know.
But the only thing that my brother and my husband have in common are that they're both Caucasian males. That's it.
They're both pleasant looking Caucasian males.
They're just like sort of, you know, pleasant looking Caucasian males. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. Will you please do me a favor?
Uh-huh.
Pull up a picture of your brother right now. And maybe we should do, I don't know. Is your brother notoriously private?
No, I can't.
I just feel like this is something that you either need to own up to or we can put to rest right now.
They don't look at all.
Show me a picture of your brother.
Okay.
Pull up a picture of Hopbert. I'm going to pull up a picture of your husband. I happen to have one right here on my phone. And I'm sorry, you know, listen, this is a little bit inside baseball, gentle listener, but I feel like it's important for you to know whether or not Kathleen's type is her brother. So I'm ready when you are, Kathleen.
Hang on. Just let
take,
me.
Take your time. Okay.
That's it.
Don't pick one like where it. You know specifically his face is obscured.
Okay.
Pick one there like he looks like, you know, that like you would... You'd be able to pick him out in a lineup.
Okay, here we go. This is my brother.
Oh my God, he looks just like your husband.
No, he doesn't.
Looks just like your husband.
He absolutely does not.
They're identical.
Bethany, different shaped noses, like different.
Same mouths.
No, get out of here.
All right, listen. Okay, is your husband's Instagram public?
Go
to Instagram.
He doesn't have any pictures of himself. This is my, it does not, that's my brother.
Looks just like Neil.
With his ex-girlfriend.
It's actually more than I thought.
Oh my God. Okay. No, it's not.
So go to Instagram. It's just what Neil drinks is his handle.
There's no pictures of him.
There's one.
Ugh.
It's in the very middle.
No, I'm not. And then
from 2015.
I'm not posting a photo of my brother.
You don't have to. I just want people to know that this is Neil. Now, just pretend that instead of Neil, it was Hotbert, and now you'll know what Kathleen's brother looks like.
No, it's not.
Is it weird to know that your brother and your husband are the same person? Do they know that?
They have the same color hair,
huh?
And they're white males, and that is it. They're different heights,
face,
different weights,
same smile.
Definitely not same smile. Definitely different noses, different ears, different everything.
Uh huh.
Different everything, Bethany.
Not everything.
Oh,
they look a lot alike.
Nope.
Like, I
have to go to therapy now.
I mean, you're already in therapy, so this is good. You just bring it up.
Well, have you ever thought about how your boyfriend and your cat look alike?
They don't. You know that's not true.
No, Loki and Dennis look a lot alike.
They have similar hair.
They have dark hair.
Yeah.
And they're funny.
Loki does tell a great joke.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying.
Loki's Italian, too.
I don't want to make it. He's from Jersey.
Exactly. He's Italian.
He's Persian.
He's Italian. I'm very upset right now.
I think we'll just address this at a later time. Maybe the next time we do a live episode, we'll just post pictures of them both and the audience can decide.
Maybe
we get both Hopbert and your husband together and see what happens.
I'm not talking to you anymore.
Maybe we do a makeout test. You make out with both of them and you can tell which one is which.
I'm sorry. Do you hear something?
I don't hear anything. I hear delightful banter.
There's like a weird buzz.
I hear delightful and great ideas. I hear brainstorming and ideating is what I hear. I hear spitballing. I hear discomfort.
I'm not here anymore.
Uh-huh. Kathleen?
Where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. Unfollow Bethany right now.
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. Hashtag Bethany is a national treasure. Cast me. Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram.
If you want to follow this podcast. Oh, we didn't do what we learned this week.
Oh, God damn it. What did we learn this week?
Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay. I had this. There's this like glitter that was made for your hair where you could. It came in like a little perfume spray bottle and you could like spray. It's a fine mist of glitter. You could spray it over your hair. I never used it. I once saw it in an episode of that show where people had addictions and then they would come and be forced to like go to a home.
Oh, for addictions. On TLC.
Yeah.
Where that woman ate chalk.
Yeah. No, not My Strange Addiction, but like another show. But anyway, a woman was addicted to meth and she had the same hair stuff in the background. I noticed. Anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Uh-huh.
If you don't want to paint your nails, but you want your nails to look bomb, do a base coat and then just take some sort of glitter, whatever you have.
Yeah.
Because glitter's bad for the environment, so we got to get rid of it anyway.
Yes.
Spray it over your fingers and then put a top coat on. It looks amazing. That's what I learned this week.
Oh.
See? It's just a gentle sheen.
Do you know who does that? Selena Gomez.
Does she?
She like does a clear base coat and then she puts glitter over it.
It's great. It works like a charm. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week besides the fact that you're married to your brother? I'll wait. I'll wait while you pout.
Aww.
This card's tail wags. It's from Liz. Thank you, Liz, for the birthday card. That's very nice of you. By the way, I also got this gorgeous, I don't think I was able to reach out to them on Amazon to say thank you. For my birthday, I got a very generous, it's like a satchel, but it's the Millennium Falcon, like blueprints, and it's very awesome. And thank you. I don't have your name in front of you, but thank you to whoever sent that to me. I love it. And I am sorry if I wasn't able to respond on Amazon. I think I lost the little thing that said
who it was
to say thank you.
Yeah.
But thank you. I wanted to make sure that you knew that I got it and I appreciate it.
Okay. I know what I learned this week.
Okay.
So this is from Instagram. So it's Bible. Lemons are not naturally occurring fruit.
What?
A lemon is a hybrid crossbreeding between a bitter orange and a citron, which means that life never gave us lemons. We invented them.
Wait, is that true?
Is a lemon a real fruit? Lemons are a hybrid of bitter orange and citron. Sure thing. Oranges are a hybrid of the pomelo and the mandarin.
You know what? That's insane. Natural citrus fruits are the mandarin, pomelo, pepetta, and citron.
That's it. There's only four.
And that's crazy.
And then all the other fruits are hybrids.
So life didn't give us lemons. Scientists gave us lemons.
Science gave us lemons.
Huh.
Life did not give us lemons.
Well, that's a dirty lie. You can't trust anyone.
Freaking fallacy.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
I am not exhaling because I'm very mad at you.
That's fine. You're only hurting yourself.
If you want to follow this podcast, you can do so on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus search our Acquired Taste Podcast fan group.
You can send us an email at acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to send us some snail mail, we get that. We have a P.O. box. Makes me feel very fancy when I check it. That's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can leave us a voicemail, which, of course, we play them at the end of every week's episode. Give us a call. You can do that at the following number, which I'm looking at right now. And I'm only stalling because I want you to get excited about it.
We should remember this phone number eventually.
I think we'd learn it. 917-994-0353.
All right.
Oh, one more thing. Merch.
Yes.
You can check out our merch at dftba.com and then search Acquired Taste. That stands for Don't Forget to Be Awesome.
It's also on our website, acquiredtastepodcast.com, and it's the link in our Instagram bio.
That's that about that.
All right, Taste Buds. Here's what you had to say this week.
Hey ladies, this is Courtney from Lancaster. So I am listening to the most recent bonus episode, and I'm only like 10 minutes in, and I think it's the funniest thing that Kathleen is busy talking about vaginas and equating it to slip and slides, and Bethany is just busy trying to figure out what the narrative style of the audio porn was. And I think that just perfectly sums up the two of you as people, and I'm laughing my ass off in my car to this episode. So keep being amazing, ladies, and have a great weekend.
Hello, ladies and taste buds. I just wanted to say that I just got done having drinks with some coworkers that I don't normally get to drink with, and it was fabulous. There's nothing like getting with people that you don't get to see very often to enjoy them and love them and be fabulous and not quite be the adult single mom that has to take care of everything all the time.
Okay, you ladies are going to love this. I'm listening to an episode, the episode where you're talking about how Adira was forced to retire because he was pooping somewhere he wasn't supposed to. So I'm from New Jersey, and maybe like about a year, year and a half ago, there was a story out of Central Jersey where a guy, a superintendent, was actually going out for like a run in the morning and pooping on the field of another school. And everyone was going around calling him the pooper intendant. Please have a sexy day. Bye.
Hey, gals. This is Jamie from PA. So tonight, my husband's working late, so I have the lamps on, the candles lit, watching TV with my pup, eating a pizza. So I'm in what you would call my huge, high hiccup. Completely forget how you pronounce it, but, you know, all good here. Love you guys. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Lexi from Pennsylvania, and I just spent an absurd amount of money that I just really don't have to spend on a meet and greet with Ewan McGregor, a.k.a. the famous Obi-Wan Kenobi and Christopher Robin, and I'm so excited. My husband just doesn't get it, so I can't share the excitement with him. He's my celebrity.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Nina. First time calling. Been listening to you guys since when we were on the radio and then turned to a podcast. I just was really excited when you started talking about the self-defense class because I was always telling myself that I need to do a self-defense class living in New York City, but never found one. So if you totally get one together, I will be there. And as a note, got really excited when Kathleen started talking about cookies and mulled wine.
Hi, taste buds. This is Melissa. Kathleen, I just had to call and let you know that I was just listening to the last podcast, and I have the Un, Deux, Trois Cat t-shirt that you were talking about from Amazon. It was an impulse purchase, and it is fantastic. It is very soft and totally worth the money, in my opinion. So if you're a cat lover and a French lover like I am, totally go to Amazon and buy the Un, Deux, Trois Cat t-shirt. It is so worth it.
It's tequila and pineapple juice. Oh, my God. Imagine if you made pineapple juice out of your nipples. Wouldn't that be kind of amazing and delicious? Isn't pineapple juice good for you? It would be good for babies, right? Milk's probably better. I don't know. I'm getting off on a tangent. I'm hanging out in my kitchen tonight, actually, because I don't have a couch. I also don't have a TV. So I'm watching the Gilmore Girls on my phone in the kitchen while I'm cooking. And I did the dishes. And now I'm having some tequila and some marijuana. So I'm going to hang up because I'm going to call back. Because I got more to say.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.